America's health infrastructure after an Ebola case is identified in the U.S. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Federal health authorities are working to reassure the public they're ready to contain the Ebola virus after the announcement that the first patient in the U.S. was diagnosed with Ebola, a man who traveled from Liberia to Texas. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more on how prepared the U.S. is for this and other infectious diseases.
Health workers are now in the midst of finding people the infected man may have come in contact with. They'll be monitored for 21 days. Jeannie Ringel is director of the Population Health Program at Rand Health.
You're having to monitor all of those folks that this person has been in contact with, and then that may expand to, you know, if one of those people is sick, then you expand to talk to trace all of their contacts.
That takes a lot of people and resources. Federal health officials tried to get a head start. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sent checklists to hospitals with advice on containing the disease and protecting staff. Paul Bittinger is chief of the Division of Emergency Preparedness at Mass General Hospital. He says the U.S. beefed up bioterrorism preparedness after the anthrax attacks in 2001, and now all that prep work is paying off.
Our health system today is in much better shape than it was 5 or 10 years ago to be able to identify and contain outbreaks like Ebola, even though that's not exactly what we're planning for.
Bittinger says he's not surprised an Ebola case showed up in the U.S. He's been preparing for it for months. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
There's news that Britain's financial regulators have opened an investigation into Tesco, a global grocery chain that is frequently second only to Walmart globally. When news broke last week of irregular accounting at Tesco, its stock lost nearly $5 billion in market value. Tesco's stock is down another 3.6% in London now. Students in suburban Denver were threatening to walk out of school today in an act of civil disobedience. One of the reasons, a proposal to de-emphasize civil disobedience from their history curriculum. The choice of today by the students may be strategic. Today's the day the district there counts heads in classrooms that will determine future school funding. Nova Safo has more.
Today is count day for Colorado schools, the day students are counted to figure out how much state funding each school district will get.
In the past, school districts have done everything they can do to get kids to attend on that day.
Michael Griffith is with the Denver-based Education Commission on the States.
So they'll have pizza for free, or they'll have activities. They will send out notices to families.
That's because $4,000 to $6,000 per student is on the line. Nationwide, about half of school district budgets come from state funding, but only a minority of states use a single count day. It's attractive because it's less paperwork, but Jane Urschel of the Colorado Association of School Boards says her members do want to change.
Years ago, we had two count days. So it's been an issue of whether or not this is the best way. We know we need to make better policy on that.
Among other options is to count up the average number of students in school during the whole year, which is the most popular option among states. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Ford Motor Company warned about its future profits yesterday, a reminder that recall problems have not just been a General Motors issue. Ford's stock fell more than 2%. For a long time, Ford owned Jaguar of Britain, but sold it at the height of the financial crisis. Under new management, Jaguar is showing new signs of life. But until now, Jag has been missing something. Jamie Kittman is New York editor for Automobile Magazine and recently went to Britain to see the launch of the Jaguar XE.
Jaguar is really a great success story. Since their sale by Ford in 2008 to India's Tata, they've had it all. I think what they need are customers, and I think they think that the way they're going to get them, and they may well be right, is by having a car that competes in the volume market, which is really lower down than where they've been. Cars that are, you know, sort of start around $40,000.
So Jaguar wants to be quote-unquote mass market in the sense of what maybe a well-off lawyer might want.
Well, even sort of a young professional who's just getting started, with lease prices being so attractive, a lot of people can afford that kind of car if they're willing to spend a little extra. And I think that's where they want to get it. But remember, their idea of volume is never going to be as big as BMW or Mercedes. They don't need to sell quite that many, but they need to sell a lot more than they're selling now. However, Jaguar's quality has been improving dramatically. So the hope is that will carry forward to this model.
It's interesting to talk about how Jaguar got there. I mean, that was not always Jaguar's reputation.
Well, I think the first step, Ford bought Jaguar in 1990, and really, in retrospect, their ownership was pretty benevolent. A lot of people worried, but they really did spend a lot of time getting Jaguar's systems and their manufacturing to improve, but they left their engineers alone to make what was a fairly distinctive product. And then it's the realization of any company competing today that really lousy quality is just unacceptable. And in the way that there are very few crappy cars anymore, the world's not ready for crappy Jaguars.
So you've seen what Jaguar hopes is the solution to its problem. How's that car?
Well, I haven't driven it yet. However, it's probably likely to drive very well. Jaguars drive really great. And for the money, fuel economy should be extraordinary. And the hope is that the quality will be there from the get-go.
Jamie Kidman, New York bureau chief for Automobile Magazine. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Kidman also blogs at cartalk.com that XE will come to the U.S. as a 2016 model. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.